What's good, y'all? It's A.H., one half of Young Black and Gifted, Sloppy Smooth. Now I mean Azariah, the database misfit, the firmament one. And y'all tuning into the best podcast right now. My man in Florida, Sinise Unfiltered Podcast. Don't touch that dial, we here. Young Black and Gifted. You listen to Sinise Unfiltered, yep. Sports, politics, and wrestling. Best podcast, nothing else can measure him. On Spotify, search and check for him. Great guests, real topics he addressing him. For the youth, the community, the unity. Corrupt politicians, and never stop the vision. Sinise mission, make it better while we living. The most unfiltered, so they come get us.
Sinise with God, A.H., Kid Call Quest, yeah.
Sounds good.
What up, what up, what up? This your boy Ant. Welcome to the 50th episode of Sinise Unfiltered Maniacs. I want to thank you so much for your love and support. Without you guys, I could not do it. So you know I had to go get a big guest. My guest today, she's been on all over TV. She's been to films such as Not Another Teen Movie, Come Away Home, In the Mix, The Crickets Dance, which we'll talk about a little bit later. She's been in The Sausage Factory, The Andy Dick Show, The OC, CSI, NY, and Miami, Days of Our Lives, Sons of Anarchy. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Kristen Renton. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Big fan. It's an honor to have you on here. Like I said, this is my 50th episode, and I'm glad you could join me.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Appreciate it. So let's get right into it. So why did you start acting and what got you started?
Oh, okay. So you know what? My older sister was a model and I kind of was following in her footsteps and I never really thought I was going to get into the entertainment business, but I started taking some classes just so I could speak in front of a camera and I wouldn't get camera shy and I just fell madly in love with it. An agent asked me to come to LA. I decided, okay, let's try this. And I booked my first commercial and I was hooked. I was just absolutely hooked. So I just kept grinding and here we are.
Awesome. Cool. Who has been your biggest influences?
You know, a lot of people would probably say somebody in the business. Mm-hmm. Honestly, my biggest influences are my parents. You know, my dad was in the military and, my mom, had to deal with a lot of time alone because he was deployed a lot and traveled a lot. And, you know, they're both such phenomenal human beings and without them, I would not be able to do what I'm doing today. And, you know, they made a lot of sacrifices. They've helped me throughout the years. And I think they are, I hope someday to be as amazing as they are.
Cool. What branch of service?
My dad was in the Air Force. 30 years, retired Colonel Honorary General, he likes to say.
Okay,
well. They wanted him to stay on, but he's like, I'm out.
Yep.
I did my 30.
Well, Army vet, so from one vet to another, tell him thank you for his service.
I will, and thank you for yours.
Oh, thank you. So in every industry, including the entertainment industry, there's a lot of competition. What makes you stand out from competition?
You know, that's a really good question. I have no idea. I would hope that it's that I don't, honestly, I hope it's that I just don't buy into the bullshit, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to stay grounded. I don't consider myself Hollywood. I know a lot of people are in it for the flash and the fame and the money. And, you know, they want to go to all the popular bars and the hot spots. And I just don't care about that. And I think sometimes staying out of that kind of publicity mm-hmm. is beneficial because, you know, the lines of reality and entertainment aren't blurred. They're too separate, you know? So I think maybe that helps a little bit. I I'm not sure. I'll have to ask my director. what made you choose me?
So, how do you select films and roles?
You know, it's kind of that's a really interesting question. A lot of times they select me, or I'll audition for something, but if I'm not into the material, I don't believe in it, or if it's something that I'm really passionate about, I'll obviously push for at least getting an audition or speaking with the director. I like to find things that are a little offbeat, you know, not just a cookie cutter, same thing that's, you know, coming out all the time. I like to find things that really touch your heart, you know, and something that you're going to remember, that you walk away from going, wow, that was really cool. I'm going to remember that. I'll watch it again, or I want to tell somebody about it. Now, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've done some projects that I am not proud of, but it's all part of a learning process, you know? And I hope that I continue to evolve in that way and find, you know, roles that I can really sink my teeth into.
Okay. And when you do select a role, how do you first do the research and approach a role?
I think each time it depends on the project. Like for my most recent one that you were talking about earlier, The Crickets Dance, that screenplay was actually based on a novel. So I went out and I bought the book. I read it twice. You know, I really wanted to understand all the characters and what the author was trying to convey. And I spoke both with the author and with the writer of the screenplay about how they developed their character, how they saw it, because they're two kind of different stories. So, you know, how they each got to where they did with the stories and the characters and whatnot. So, you know, I do a lot of that. And I always try to bring a little bit of myself or a little bit of something that I've either learned or experienced to each character and each role. So, you know, I enjoy being somebody else, but you have to have a little bit of yourself somewhere in there to keep you grounded.
Okay. What has been your most challenging role?
You know, I would say probably the soap opera. Because we would shoot like 2-3 episodes. We could, sometimes I would only shoot one episode, but sometimes it'd be like 2 or 3 in a day. And, you know, it would be everything from fun, you know, jovial scenes to I'm in a hospital, you know, crying over my loved one who's in a coma, you know, so you had to be ready to be all different kinds of emotions and all different kinds of feelings. So it was like going to acting class every day. I really, really enjoyed it. It was difficult. There was a lot of dialogue to learn, a lot of things that you had to remember, but it was a lot of fun, and I'm really lucky that I got to have that experience.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, you're speaking of the Days of Our Lives, where you played Morgan Hollingsworth.
I did. Yes, I did.
What do you think has been your most successful role so far in your career?
I would have to say Sons of Anarchy, just because of the vast different groups of people that show touched. I mean, I have people from India that write me. I have people from, you know, way, way up in Canada that write me. I have people from Japan. I mean, everywhere. And it's so interesting that type of show, especially because it's such a specific genre, really resonated in one way or another with such a vast group of people. So I think that would be probably my most successful, just because of how many people it reached and how many people it touched.
Okay. Yeah, man. Sons of Anarchy, that has become one of my favorite all-time shows. I remember when it first came out, one of my friends was telling me about it. One of my friends was telling me about it, like, man, you got to check it out. And I think it was season 2 when he had told me that. And that's when they had took Jack's son. And ever since then, I was hooked. I had to go watch the whole first season and watch the second season. So I love that show. What did you think about the finale?
Oh, I think, you know, we all knew that in Kurt Sutter, the creator, in his mind, that this was a Shakespearean experience. And we knew that, I think we all knew that the majority of the leads were going to have to die, including Jack. I thought it was really interesting how they decided to do it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting that they included Michael Chiklis in the finale because Kurt used to write for The Shield, which he was on. So it was really interesting how they kind of pulled a bunch of different stuff back together. It was, I know a lot of people didn't like it. I don't really have anything negative to say about it. It was sad because I loved working on that show, and of course nobody really wanted it to end, but I think they did it in the way that they had to. And I think, you know what, people still talk about it. So there you go. I guess they did something right.
Yeah, I'm telling you, when it was coming towards the end and I see him on a motorcycle and the truckers come, I think I stood up, I was standing up like, no. Same thing when they,
like, don't do it.
Same thing when they killed Opie. I was like, oh my God. My wife came in and said, what's wrong? I'm like, oh. I was like, they killed Opie. He's like, you're talking about TV?
That one really messed with a lot of people, I think, because there was such a deep love for that character. Mm-hmm. And, Ryan Hurst did such a phenomenal job with Opie. And I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a video on YouTube of the guys helping Ryan cut his hair after Opie was killed. And it's like this really emotionally heavy video, but it's so beautiful because it really shows the behind the scenes love that these guys developed for each other. It's really awesome.
Okay, so let's talk about your character on Sons of Anarchy. You were in a lot of drama on this show.
Yes, I was.
I was just, as a few days ago, I was watching the episode, that one episode with you and Jax in the dressing room. That was a tough scene.
Oh God, yeah, that was actually my. That was probably my favorite scene to shoot with him, just because, prior to shooting it, he had some serious reservations and didn't really want to do it. He didn't want to spit on me. He was like really against, beating up a female, all that. And I pulled him aside and I was like, look, I said, I totally get it. And I love you for that 100%. But I said, I promise you I'm going to be okay. I want you to spit on me. I know that sounds weird, but I do. I think that this scene is going to be a super pivotal one. And I think that it what I did called for that kind of reaction, especially from you. And I think the scene turned out phenomenal. It is one of the most pivotal scenes between him and, a secondary character. So I'm cool with it.
it was great. It was great. Like I said, thank you for your performance on that show. That show is, like I said, one of my all-time favorite shows right there. Okay, so the cricket dance. Let's talk about the cricket dance.
Let's do it.
It is now available on Amazon, Apple, and YouTube. Talk about your role in the film for us.
I play a character by the name of Angie. She is a lawyer that recently returns back to where she grew up. And she ends up inheriting an antebellum. And when she moves, after a very close confidant of hers passes away unexpectedly. And she doesn't really have anybody else. She's very kind of quiet and reserved and a homebody. And while she's cleaning out this house, she comes across a diary of what she assumes is the people that had lived in this home prior to her friend that had passed. And then the story kind of takes a turn. You go back in time and you watch all of these tragic yet beautiful relationships that develop and what happens to them. And during this time of going back in these memories and these this different time and place, she's also evolving and starting a relationship, and it's a really beautiful love story, but it also sparks a lot of conversation about our history and where we are and all the work that we still need to do with regards to equality and racial injustice and a lot of heavy topics. It turns to be a beautiful love story.
Okay, definitely gotta check it out. Like I said, it's available on iTunes, Amazon Prime, and YouTube right now. Also, say congratulations because you've been nominated for Best Actress in the Fusion Film Festival London Edition, correct?
Yeah, you know what's crazy about this is I don't even know about any of these festivals until the director will, like,
oh, really?
Tag me on Facebook or tag me on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, we're at a festival. Oh, they like it. This is great. I mean, I'm so out of the loop because, you submit to all these festivals, and mm-hmm. it's a crapshoot whether or not you get accepted, and then, you know, when they premiere the film and then they vote, you're finding out with everybody else that you actually, you know, either were nominated or won. And so it's been a big honor. This film has done very well in the festival circuit, and I'm truly honored, and you know, I just thank everybody for their love and support. And you know, it was an independent film. We didn't have a lot of money, we didn't have a lot of time, and I think it really shows how much love we put into it.
Definitely. And you guys also won the 2020 Culture and Diversity Film Festival Judges winner for Best Ensemble for the Crickets Dance also, correct?
Yeah, that's awesome because I think, especially in this film, each individual character and each individual person played such a pivotal role.
Mm-hmm.
And was so important in the story and the telling of these relationships that... you know, I think for us to all be recognized is a beautiful thing.
Definitely is. So, talk about what are some of the difficulties in a business?
That's a good question. Difficulties in the business. Well, you know, you never work as much as you want to. At least I don't. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes that people don't realize in order to get a project made that mm-hmm. a lot of times you can get a little disillusioned, you can get a little frustrated. You know, like, for example, the Crickets Dance. That was a project that took about 6-7 years to get made.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that sometimes, especially with independence, it takes that long to get funding, to secure locations, to secure producers, you know, crew, all of that stuff. And so it can get to be a little daunting, you know, and funding's always a big issue. Finding somebody that's willing to fund your project, believe mm-hmm. in you enough to give you their money, you know, that can be a little daunting. And you know, when you're dealing with bigger projects, you know, with studios or larger producers and directors, a lot of times you lose your own freedom of creativity. You know, mm-hmm. you have to kind of bend to what they want. And, you know, especially like for myself specifically, you know, I have to look a certain way. I have to be a certain weight. I have to do certain things. And it can get, you can kind of get caught up in the crap really mm-hmm. easily.
Uh-huh.
And so you got to find a happy balance, a way to keep yourself, happy and a way to, you know, not lose yourself and become something entirely different. And I think that can be a struggle for some people.
Okay, thank you for that. So another thing I want to ask you about real quick, going back to Sons, because you had a lot of, you know, racy sexual scenes in the show. Is it hard to do a nude or sexual scene?
Oh, yeah. It's not fun. It's really awkward because you have a bunch of people, like, standing around just looking at you, you know, mm. while you're simulating whatever it is you're simulating. You know, you've got a guy with a microphone, a guy with a camera, you know, a guy holding a light. You know, it can be a little awkward. It can be a little strange. But, you know, thankfully, I have worked on a lot of sets where I've had those kinds of scenes, but everybody's always been extremely professional, mm. extremely lovely, you know, very respectful. So I've gotten really lucky. I've heard some horror stories where that has not been the case. So, you know, I've gotten really lucky. But, yeah, there is nothing fun or cute about scenes like that. It's always awkward and weird and just uncomfortable.
Okay. So what advice would you give to up-and-coming actresses?
Personally, I would say be yourself. You know, there's so many women out there that immediately start changing that appearance to look like something, like, you know, we have 75 million Kim Kardashians roaming around today, you know, and I would much rather, you know, see you continue to be you and the best you can be, you know, but not give up who you truly are, you know, for because somebody else thinks that's what you should do. You know, I would say just, you know, embrace who you are, love who you are, work hard, you know, and don't lose sight of the fact that, you know, people love you the way you are, and Hollywood isn't always going to be like that.
Okay.
You know, so just stay positive and love yourself.
There you go. Thank you. So I want to ask you, how important is your relationship and friendship with Kendra Wilkinson?
Oh, oh, Kendra.
Kendra.
Oh, I love that girl. you know, we actually, I haven't seen her in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. She's a great chick. She's a lot of fun to hang out with. But, you know, our lives started to go in a completely different direction. So I haven't actually seen her in several years. But she's out in L.A. doing her real estate thing. And I think she's got a new show. So, you know, I'm really happy for her. And I think that's great. And I mean, she's a funny girl. She's always going to keep reinventing herself. I have no doubt. And, you know, I wish her nothing but the best.
Awesome. You also appeared on Celebrity Ghost Stories. How was that? Because I don't know if I would be able to go through something like that. How was that experience on that show?
Oh, it was awesome. It was actually an experience that I had on the Queen Mary in real life. I mean, this was well before I was, you know, a name in anybody's mouth. It was really early 2000s, and it was absolutely crazy and amazing and terrifying and just awesome all at the same time. And so when they approached me to be on the show, I was completely game. And with telling my story, I had found other people that actually had a very similar experience. Mm-hmm. And then we went on, I think it was the following year, and I did, the follow-up, which was The Haunting Of, where we actually go back to the place where I had experienced the haunting, and I'm with a psychic, and she kind of walks through everything and either, you know, validates or debunks my experience, and it was awesome. I had such a fun time.
Cool. And I also saw here, you swim with sharks?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was awesome. I'll tell you that.
Wow.
I wouldn't recommend doing it unless you're with somebody who, like, knows what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
But it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome.
Okay. What is your favorite roller coaster?
Ooh.
I know you love roller coasters.
You know what? I do. Probably, like, 5 years ago, I went to Busch Gardens with a good friend of mine, Damien. And there was one, and I don't remember the name, but it was at Busch Gardens. And you literally get to the top and you do a complete 90-degree drop.
Jeez.
I'm sure he would know the name, and I completely forget. But, like, and I think your feet are dangling, if I remember correctly. So that one, initially I was terrified. I love roller coasters, and I always, like, try to talk myself out of it before I get on it, you know? And then once I'm on it, I'm like, let's do it again. so it was a lot of fun. I don't remember the name, but it's at Busch Gardens, Tampa Bay.
Okay. So a few years ago, you said, you know, you were battling depression. How did you know you were depressed, and what helped you get through that?
You know, I think, now I'm speaking for myself. I honestly don't know if other people have this experience or not, but, you know, I think we all battle with emotional demons. You know, life ebbs and flows. You know, we have highs, we have lows. And I think, everybody deals with, you know, their low point. Unfortunately, it's just part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially in my business, you have a constant parade of people basically saying no to you. Like, you're not getting this job because you're not tall enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not this enough, you're not that. And it wears down on you. You have to have a thick skin, but you're still human,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think just... I've been going through a lot personally as well, and I think, you know, I just found myself kind of in a place where I just wasn't happy, And, you know, I've always been one of those people who I'm very open about who I am in my life and, you know, every aspect of that. And I've always said, look, if I can be honest about something that I'm going through or something I've been through, and that helps one other person, then I'm going to do that. You know, because there have been times where I wish somebody else had done that for me. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I was just honest. I said, look, people look at other humans that are on TV or in the movies or something and think that they don't have these problems. I think that they don't ever go through these, you know, emotional loads. And that's not true. I have plenty of friends that are in the business that go through the same thing that I went through. And, you know, I think just sharing my story and being honest about it, you know, like I said, I just wanted to be able to help somebody else if I could. And, you know, just show that we're all human, you know. Mm-hmm. There's nothing special. Just because you're on TV doesn't mean that you're immune to it, doesn't mean that you're more special than anybody else. It just means you're on TV.
Okay. And if you have a message to them, if, you know, someone listens to the podcast could be in that same situation, what would your message to them be?
You're not alone. Okay. You're absolutely not alone. You may feel like it. It may seem like it, but you're not alone.
Thank you for that. I wanted to bring that up. Like you said, there could be somebody listening to the show going through the same thing. And like you said, you know, just by your words, it could help someone. So thank you very much for that.
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing that up. I think, you know, I had people after I put out my Instagram post that reached out to me and said, you know, because of you, I didn't kill myself last night. That to me is the best thing that could ever happen to me. Knowing that I was able to touch somebody in that way, that's all I could ever ask for. That to me is better and more special than any red carpet or any movie premiere I will ever do.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, you're also a huge animal activist. You know, supporting the Boxer Rescue in L.A.,
yes.
The ASPCA, Dogs for Deaf, the HSUS, Save the Manatee Club, the SPCA. How important to you are animals? And especially the not... Go ahead.
You know, I'm they are like the most important thing to me. I don't have children. I'm not going to have kids. So my fur babies are my children. I say this jokingly, but I'm really not kidding. Animals are better than a lot of humans. You know, they treat each other better. They, you know, all they want from us is love.
Yep.
And, you know, their love to us is unconditional. And, you know, without animals, we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there is everything on this planet, depends on everything else, you know? So when we lose, you know, whatever, if it's, you know, a lion or if those go extinct, then that's going to affect everything else on this planet. So, you know, I definitely am a huge activist in that way. And, you know, I have loved animals since I was a little girl. I will always love animals, and they helping them feeds my soul. It really does.
Okay. If you can't talk about the Non-Human Rights Project, if you can talk about that.
Sure. So I actually met them probably 6 years ago, I want to say. They were doing a documentary about how they had... what was the name of it? Oh, man, it just went out of my head. I just had it. I'll think of it. I know by the time we're done, I will think of it. But they're basically a civil rights organization dedicated solely to securing the rights for non-human animals. They believe that animals have, you know, rights, that they have feelings, emotions, they can feel pain, you know. So a lot of what they're trying to do is get these animals that are being abused, neglected, mistreated, whether it be, you know, for science, you know, animals, chimps, dogs, all of these that are in cages that are being electrocuted are being, you know, tested on, all of these things, to, you know, the roadside attraction animals. I mean, Tony the Tiger, he's an example that, you know, they tried to help get him free. Unfortunately, he passed away due to his issues being kept in a cage. Wow. On the side of the road. for no reason, just so people come take a picture, you know? Wow. So what they do is really important. They're trying to, in court, basically set a precedent to prove that these animals have equality and liberties just like humans. So, you know, it's phenomenal what they're doing. They have a lot of fighting to do. You know, it's definitely an uphill battle, but they're a phenomenal organization. So, if anybody wants to check them out, it's nonhumanrights.org.
Thank you. So you also have been made ambassador for Lupus LA. Can you talk about that? And for some of us who might not know a lot about lupus, can you inform us on that?
Sure. So Lupus LA is a great organization out in Los Angeles that was started by a really great guy by the name of Adam. Lupus is an autoimmune disease where basically your body attacks its own healthy cells. So my body is constantly trying to attack itself, if that makes sense. The symptoms manifest in everyone differently. Myself, I have, before I was diagnosed, I had severe pain. Hello?
Yes. Yep, can you hear me?
Okay. yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
So I had severe pain, really bad joint swelling, serious fatigue, and lupus can also manifest emotionally as well. You can get very depressed, very lethargic. It affects the chemistry in your brain. So, you know, there's a lot that goes on with it. Some people, if they find the right medication, can go on and go into remission, and it basically goes dormant. You never cure it. It's an incurable disease, but it can go into what we call remission, where it just goes dormant. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, some people, they pass away from it. I have a friend who lost their father. He was diagnosed, and 6 months later, he was gone. You really don't know. There's still a lot of research that's being done. A lot of new drugs are coming out every year, you know, trying to help combat the symptoms and the issues. So, you know, but it's an uphill battle, and it's something that, we still don't really know a whole hell of a lot about. So, it's Lupus LA is a wonderful support group that, we get together and we raise money for organizations. We help out those who cannot afford their medication themselves. We support each other, especially during COVID. It was really hard because, you know, being immunocompromised, you have to be extra careful because you get sick, you are much higher risk of not making it out to the other side. So, it's a great organization, and they do a lot of work with other, nonprofits in the community and whatnot as well. So I'm really honored to be a part of that.
And if we want to help, if we want to help out and donate, where can we go to?
LupusLA.org.
Okay. So where do you see your career in the next 5 years?
I think I'm going to get a little bit more behind the camera, actually. I have a couple of projects that I'm working on with one with a producer and one with a director friend of mine that we're trying to develop. I've got a docu-series I'm working on. So a little bit more kind of behind. I'm not going to give up acting, but I really like the creative aspect of being behind the camera and developing. So I really hope to get a little bit more into that.
Okay. How do you want to be remembered?
As a weirdo. No. I want to be remembered just as Kristen. I don't think, there's so much more to me than just my career. And, I want people to know that, I would rather be remembered for all the charity work that I do and, you know, being a good friend and giving back and things like that. I think that would mean the world to me if that's how I'm remembered.
Okay. I know you say getting behind the camera, but anything else you have next coming up for yourself?
I had to take a break during COVID because, like I said, you know, it's really dangerous for me to kind of be out there. So things are just starting to get back up and rolling for me now that, you know, we're kind of coming out the other side of the pandemic. So right now I'm just focusing on cricket stands, and I'm focusing on the stuff that I got going on kind of behind the scenes. But as soon as I got another project lined up in front of the camera, I will let you know.
Awesome, awesome. So my last thing here, well, not last thing, but you're also a cigar fan. Recommend a good cigar for me.
You know what's funny is, so I never pick them.
Oh, really?
I have a really good friend who's a cigar aficionado who works for a phenomenal cigar company. And so I'll always just call him and be like, okay, so I'm meeting my dad this weekend. Like, tell me what I should get. And he'll just send me a couple of cigars. So I couldn't tell you a name. I just trust him. My friend Shia, he knows everything there is about cigars.
All right, cool. All right, my last thing here, and I hate to say this because we've been off such a good start today, but I want to apologize in advance for what my Buckeyes are going to do to Penn State tonight.
Wait, say that again. My phone cut out. Wait, what was that?
I said I want to apologize in advance for what Ohio State is going to do to Penn State tonight.
That's amazing. I'm actually wearing my Penn State sweats right now. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'll tell you what, the game last week, man, I could not believe it.
Yeah.
I was like, what in the actual is happening right now? I mean, I think that was a record for the most overtime, correct?
Yeah, I think the college overtime is ridiculous. I can't stand the way they do overtime.
Oh, I know. It's absolutely just, are you kidding me? But it was quite an amazing thing to watch, I have to say. Yeah. I mean, just back and forth and back and forth. Going, what in the world?
Mm-hmm. Should be a
somebody
good
had
game
to get
tonight.
Lucky at some point, you know? Yeah. I guess that was it.
Well, it should be a good game tonight.
Hopefully. Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I always just hope that it's a good game and nobody gets hurt, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, it is just a game.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the 50th episode of Sinise Unfiltered with Ms. Kristen Renton. Make sure you guys go check out the Cricket's Dance. It's available on iTunes, Amazon Prime, and YouTube. Ms. Kristen, I want to thank you so much. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on. You're welcome back anytime. If you're ever here in Orlando, hit me up. We go hang out.
Awesome. Thank you so much, darling. I really appreciate it. This is fun.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sinise Unfiltered podcast with your host, Anthony Sinise. Tune in again for more unfiltered discussions.